recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And here is Father Bill Moissant, pastor at Resurrection Church in Tualatin.
Jeremiah was a huge prophet in Jewish history. He lived about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. He is a powerful man. He would hold the kings and the religious leaders accountable for their behavior. He didn't mince words with them, and they didn't like it. In our first reading today, we have a selection from Jeremiah chapter 23, in which Jeremiah is going after these leaders for their failures, calling them to be better children of God. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord." So Jeremiah, as the Lord's prophet, is speaking for him. And he confronts the shepherds to say, basically, you're bad shepherds because you're not caring for the flock. You have not cared for them, and they are lost. But he's saying the Lord will come and gather this remnant of his flock and gather them together and put them in the pasture where they belong. And they will increase and multiply. And they won't anymore be afraid. No fear and trembling. Sheep are very much in need of a shepherd. They don't do well on their own. They need a shepherd to guide them or drive them from the back of the pack, flock. If not, if they're left by themselves, the sheep will simply lay down and stay there, and the wolves will pick them off one by one. So the shepherd is very important. And Jeremiah then is calling the religious and government leadership to do their job. Take care of these sheep, these children of God, because you're harming them by your behavior. The Gospel from Mark, this morning we have the apostles returning from their mission, apostoloi, those who were sent. Last week, we heard in the Gospel about Jesus sending them out, two by two, to spread the good news. And so they have. They went, and now they've come back. Scripture doesn't indicate how long they were gone. Were they gone a few days, or weeks, or months? Scripture doesn't say. But it makes it clear that when they return, they are tired and worn out, and they need a rest. Jesus is surrounded by these vast crowds. The crowds keep coming and going, and they're not getting any chance even to eat. Having a meal in this culture took time. You didn't munch on a sandwich on the run. That's not how you ate at this time. They would need hours to gather and have a decent meal. And so Jesus is saying to them, come away with me. Let's get away from this crowd for a while. You people need to rest. You're tired doing the work I sent you to do. And so they got in a boat. They went off to an isolated place, not many people there, so that they could rest. Ever so often, Mark the Evangelist's sense of humor breaks through in his gospel. This is one of those occasions. He's saying something funny. What he's saying is that while Jesus is gathering his worn-out disciples and putting them in a boat and taking his poor followers off to have a rest, the people see this. They tell everybody, let's beat them there. And they do. They probably take off at a run. So when they get to what's supposed to be an isolated place, there's this huge crowd there. That's funny. And was meant to be humorous. Jesus is looking at all this vast crowd. Now they have things for a meal, very likely the five loaves and two fish that will appear later in the gospel for the multiplication. But the gospel says that Jesus' heart was moved with pity for these people. They're so needy, they're so lost, and they're in such emotional and spiritual pain because they've been abandoned by their shepherds, by their religious leaders and government. The gospel says that Jesus' heart was moved with pity. That's what the English says. That's not quite what the Greek says. It's always important to go back to the language in which Mark wrote. If Mark meant to use what we say pity, he'd have used the Greek word krima. Krima means pity. Feel sorry for somebody. Pity you. The root word of krima is the word for womb, because krima was considered a feminine word that described a feminine feeling. Apparently in the culture, men didn't have pity, but the women did. Women pitied people in trouble and in pain. But that's not the word Mark uses. He doesn't use krima, even though it's translated in English as pity. He uses eklephizen. It's a Greek word that means moved with compassion. Jesus is not simply pitying these people. He's moved with compassion. That's a whole nother nuanced meaning. To pity someone means that you feel sorry for them. And that's the end of that. You can pity your enemy. Oh, poor things, they're suffering. We feel sorry for them, even though we don't like them. So pity is not very strong. Compassion is a word of love, however. You cannot have compassion to the people that you don't like. It doesn't work like that. You have compassion with all people that you love. Love them. But it's also not only a feeling like pity, it's an action word. It's an action word. It means you're going to do something about it. You're just not going to feel sorry for them. You're going to help them. That's what compassion is all about. It's what the Greek means and implies. It's that Jesus is not only feeling sympathy for these people, but now he's going to do something about it. And he preaches to them and heals their sick. So we too are called to not simply pity people. The culture does that in a sort of a mean way. Pity them. Poor things. Not going to do anything about it, but we feel sorry for them. In fact, some people seem so unfeeling when faced with terrible pain and suffering of other people. They almost get off on it. I don't know, maybe it helps them feel powerful, almost like they're glad. They're glad they're suffering because it helps reinforce their own sense of security, maybe. But we're called not to be like that, not to pity people. We're supposed to have compassion for them like Jesus and do something about it. The history of the Catholic Church for the last 2,000 years, even from the very beginning, the Church reached out to the people who were in need, the suffering, the people who were sick, the people who were hungry, needed housing and clothing. The Church has reached out to them in an active way, doing what Jesus did, not just pitying people, having compassion for them, and then doing something to help relieve their pain. So we're called to do that as well. In fact, this week we might find someone that we might pity them. That's not going to do any good. And that's not what Jesus calls us to do, but have compassion for them, which means you do something to help them. Relieve whatever their issue is. Give them support. Give them whatever they need in order to function better and to be healthier. And so we ought to look for that this week. Somebody in our lives. Maybe somebody's emotionally needy. Maybe they need help. Maybe they need comfort. Maybe they need food. Maybe they need some help. We have all kinds of programs and ministries in the culture to help that. And so we're called today in this gospel to not just pity people, but be like Jesus and have compassion for them and make their lives better.
Thank you. And that is Father Bill Moissant, pastor at Resurrection Church in Tualatin. Of course, you can hear our homily highlight as a podcast on our website at materdeiradio.com.